Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Hear the word of the Lord. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider this word of the Lord Jesus, as he tells us exactly what it means in his call to follow him, Lord, I just pray that you would, as we consider today, that you would work in our hearts and our minds, that your Spirit would help us to grasp this meaning, not only intellectually, but how it speaks to us in our own lives, so that we might answer that call of Jesus to follow him. And we thank you, Lord, for this word, so that we might know what is your will. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, he writes these words: "The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let him take us over, the more truly ourselves we become." And so it is for a disciple of Christ. Discipleship is following Jesus. It's following Jesus, having relinquished one's self-determination and self-denial, and living and dying in obedience to him. Now, this is a fundamental characteristic of a Christian. It's a characteristic. It's one who surrenders to God's will. And this surrendering, it flows out of our blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We are so blessed. We're blessed with undeserved grace, grace that we could not earn. And this grace of God, it's given to us, and we receive it by faith. And so we have forgiveness. We have salvation from our sins, which we could never earn. We could never earn this. Try all we might. It is a gift. Salvation from ourselves. And it's eternal. And what we receive is glorious life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yet, grace comes with a cost. This free gift that we receive comes with a cost. It was a cost that Jesus Christ himself paid on the cross in his blood. And it's one that we receive by faith, and we receive his benefits by faith. Saved by grace through faith, we enjoy God's free gift. Now Jesus, our resurrected Lord, having redeemed us in his blood, having earned our salvation on the cross, well, he calls us to follow him. Hence, all Christians, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ who has answered Jesus' call to follow him. In faith, we follow Jesus. Yet answering the Lord's call to follow him, again, comes with a cost. This cost is one that we pay. It's paid by us in our denial of self, you could even say the death of self, as we carry our cross, taking up that cross that he says that we must bear if we follow him. And we do this so that we might have life. It is who we are as Christians, disciples. Now, this denial of self, this cost of grace, the cost of discipleship, it is far easier to say than to live. Living it out, it's a daily thing. This struggle, it's due largely to our deep-seated attachments and our own self-interest, where we can find ourselves, frankly, with our own self-interest being at odds with what Jesus' command is for us. Indeed, in our self-interest, costly grace encounters what may be the most difficult obstacle to being a true disciple of Christ and truly following after the Lord as He would have us follow after Him. For discipleship requires our forsaking all to follow Jesus. So look at me, or look, not at me, look with me again. Here we are in Mark 8, verse 34 again. Let's see what's said here. Mark 8, 34. And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Now, who is Jesus proclaiming this to? Who is He talking to here? Is He talking to just super Christians? Some sort of special Christian? Is He only talking to His 12 disciples? What does it say here in the passage? And calling the crowd to Him. He was talking to anyone who would follow Him. This is for everyone to hear. It is for everyone if someone would indeed follow Jesus and to obey. So that means everybody here. This is to everyone who would follow Jesus. So twice in verse 34, what we see here, the word follow is used. In the first instance, where we see it here, it indicates a purposeful resolution. It's the will to follow after Jesus. It is deciding to follow after Jesus in submission to His demands. And indeed, we as Reformed Presbyterians would say, the Spirit of God empowers us to do that. And it's this will to follow after Jesus, that this will that we're given the grace to answer. It's putting oneself behind Him. It's coming along behind Him, following the Lord Jesus as He leads the way in our life. And in the second instance, we see here where Jesus uses the term follow in this passage. It's used as a command. It's not a command to just follow Him for a little while. Well, I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, okay, I've met that requirement. No, it is not just following Jesus for a little while. It's a command to follow Him continuously. It's a command to continuously throughout your entire life until that journey's end of life and moving on into eternity, we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, when we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, we do indeed confess Him as Lord. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus is Lord. As Christians, we confess Him as Lord. The Scriptures are clear on this point. Jesus Himself refers to Himself as the Son of Man. In the context of Mark 8 here, verse 29 particularly, Peter had just, acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ. And Jesus refers to Himself as Lord. If we see in Mark 2:28, where He's talking, you know, that they're upset about the whole Sabbath event there. And He says, well, He said the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now Jesus knew exactly what He was saying. This is a saying that only the Lord God Himself could make, could only say. And so He could say it. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy that was read earlier from Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. The King and the ruler of all, and the Lord Jesus has made it clear that if you are to be one of His disciples, if you would follow Him, in other words, if you're a Christian and He is your Lord, this is what He expects from you, that you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. Now, there is a difference, an important difference in terminology that we see here as Jesus speaks here, where He says, follow Me, compared to, and perhaps you've heard it in evangelistic context, you say, well, if you accept Jesus, you've heard that, I'm sure. There's a difference between the follow Me that we see here and the accept Jesus and the salvation He brings. Because Jesus didn't say, accept Me. Jesus didn't say, accept Me. He said, follow Me. There's a fundamental difference there. Bill Clem, he's a pastor and author of the book Disciple, Getting Your Identity from Jesus. Well, he discusses this difference in terminology here. So he makes a statement, says here, the concept of following evokes rich imagery, journey, process, adventure, and dependence. Accepting sounds like Jesus is put on our scales and we decide His fate, like He is campaigning for our vote as He runs for Messiah. To accept Jesus does not call one to live as a disciple. It merely calls one to make a decision. Following calls for a series of decisions being made minute by minute, keeping Jesus as the focal point, refusing to look to the right or to the left, increasing in likeness to His character and in closeness to His person. To accept Jesus as your Lord must necessarily mean that you respond to His call to follow Him. The two are not separate events. Indeed, they are one event. One event. Saved by grace, which we receive through faith, Christians follow Jesus. Now, if you are a disciple of Christ, if you are, how you view yourself, your very identity is to be that of a follower of Jesus Christ, one who submits to His authority as Lord. This self-view of who you are, this personal identification with Christ, is far more than just giving Him the benefit of the doubt and accepting Him. Okay, I believe in Jesus. It's far more than just giving Him the benefit of the doubt. And if that's as far as you go. Following the Master necessarily involves coming along behind Him. It involves the study of His way, walking in His way, obedience to His will, participation even in His sufferings, as we see in Romans 8:17, and resolutely moving forward in His strength, because He empowers us to do this. Through His Spirit, we are empowered to follow after Him and moving forward through whatever might come along that path as we follow the Lord Jesus as a result of Him being our Lord. And to do otherwise is to not be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's to not be a Christian. Now please, please don't misunderstand me as I say this. I am not somehow proclaiming some sort of works righteousness. I've tried to be clear on that. This is not works righteousness that we're calling about. We receive our righteousness through Christ, through His righteousness which is given to us, imputed to us, put into our account. Yet in the receipt of that righteousness, we're expected to follow Jesus. It's not a works righteousness. It is a characteristic. If you are one who is a Christian, has received salvation from the Lord Jesus, this is a characteristic of you. Christians follow Jesus. Now, with that said, if you've never resolved to follow after Jesus, if you've never thought of it this way, I encourage you to think, to answer that call of the Lord and to follow Him. He will lead you along the path of righteousness. He will lead you rightly before God with you as a recipient of the salvation that He paid for so dearly on that cross and that He freely gives. We must follow Jesus. Now, again, let's look at the scripture here again. And as we're really hitting verse 34. So look at verse 34 again. We're going to look at the second part here, a little more detail. So if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, ladies, when he says deny himself, take up his cross. Now, this includes you. you can say deny himself or herself. This includes you. This is to everybody who would hear this and would follow. This is not exclusively for males. As you understand, it's just the limitations of the language, I suppose. We're talking to anyone who would follow Christ. But what does it mean here where Christ says, deny self? What does it mean to deny yourself? And we could think long and hard and have a good long discussion about it. Having thought about this and studied it, and it seems, and this seems it. When we deny ourselves, we totally surrender ourselves, our lives, who we are to Jesus Christ. It is a surrender to every, it is surrendering everything that you are. Everything, every aspiration in life that you have, every single aspect of your life, surrendering it to Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. It is to surrender control of even our own self-determination, as one man has put it, to surrender idols, to surrender addictions. It is to deny our self-interest for the sake of Christ's will in your life. It is the opposite of a selfish life. The opposite of that. It is to live a life totally surrendered to Christ and living for Christ. It is to follow that first commandment in obedience. To put no other gods before God, even ourselves. So often we raise ourselves up as our own little gods. It is to deny ourselves as that, with the Lord as first before us. Now this visual, Jesus mentions taking up your cross. That's quite a visual image that he gives us. And what is he saying here? This visual, when you think of taking up a cross, it's this idea to take a cross to a place of execution. What Jesus is demanding here in our denial of self, what he's demanding here is that if we would follow him, we would take up a cross and carry it to the place of death. What is this? It's that place of death is the sacrifice of self for a life in Christ. The Lord's calling to take up our cross and deny ourselves, it's far and away different than, you may have heard this term, comfortable Christianity. It's far away different than this comfortable Christianity, which is so prevalent in our culture and it has been for a long time. It's counter to the false teaching of a theology of success in worldly matters. It's a complete denial of living like the world. It denies that. It's a denial of seeking after our own interests without any consideration for what God's will is for us in these things. It is living for Jesus Christ. Now, a cross that we take up daily, this cross, it's the battle against temptation and sin. It is the discipline of a holy living. It is loving one's neighbor. And we throw that around, love one's neighbor. Really think about how hard it is to love one's neighbor. It is obeying our Lord Jesus and doing that selflessly in denial of self, taking up that cross. We carry that cross with our eyes upon the Lord who carried his cross to that place of death so selflessly, dying so that we might have life. He showed us the way in his own love for us, what that means. And we have his word to learn more fully how we're to live that day by day. So let's look at verse 35. Verse 35. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Here Jesus is emphasizing what the gain of following him is according to his call. When you have borne your cross, as he calls us to do when we follow him, if you have borne your cross and died to self, Jesus has set you free. The cares of the world lose that sense of being ultimate things. No longer are those things that might worry us or bother us that we struggle with, are they ultimate things? They lose that sense because we gain an eternal perspective in Jesus Christ. And following Christ with your eyes upon him, it says the hymn that we're going to sing after this, it says that hymn proclaims, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus, the blessings of his kingdom, even life in its truest form, are eternally and irrevocably yours. In the light of reality in Christ, with this understanding, with as we follow him, we find that regardless of the circumstances that we go through in life, can be so difficult. Regardless of the circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord. We see that in Philippians 4:4. The troubles, the persecutions of the world, they're put in their place in, as being the fleeting things that they truly are. Paul reveled in this hope. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And that's Romans 8:18. What a hope that we have in Jesus. Overcomes all of our trials, our sufferings. We can rejoice even in the midst of sorrow in him. Now, back to that topic, that idea of comfortable Christianity that I mentioned earlier. Comfortable Christianity is a logical development that comes out of a tragic teaching called cheap grace. This is a teaching that separates faith from discipleship. It separates grace from obedience. Since it's a perversion of biblical Christianity, this is just not what the Bible teaches, because it ignores the very essence of the call of Jesus to follow him. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, maybe you've heard of him, maybe you've read his book, The Cost of Discipleship. He writes in it concerning this cheap grace. This is what he says. He says, cheap grace is a deadly enemy in the church. It is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. And he then contrasts this to costly grace, what we've been talking about, what Jesus proclaims here. This contrast is steep. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchants will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes on. He writes, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Costly grace involves self-surrender. And this is a defining characteristic of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Surrender to Christ, our loving Lord, in love. Now, are there areas of your life? Are there areas in your life where for some reason you have not surrendered that to the Lord Jesus? That you have not denied yourself in that area? Are there areas that you keep to yourself? That you want to hold on to for whatever reason and not surrender to Him? They mean so much, whatever it may be. But are those areas, do they really mean more to you than God? Now, I've noticed in situations of spiritual care, and if we get to know one another better, you'll know that spiritual care is when I talk of that, that's counseling, that's direct ministry of the Word with individuals or maybe couples and these kind of things. But in spiritual care with various people over the years, I've seen some traits there, some underlying things, particularly when somebody comes in and say, we've got all these problems going on, or I've got these things going on. So often, you know, part of what you do is try to find the underlying problems there. So often the underlying problem that we're able together in a discussion and prayer, we're able to find is that they're, it comes down to the answer of the question, why do you refuse to surrender this area of your life to Jesus Christ? So often the very underlying problem of so many of our problems is a refusal to surrender to Christ as He has called us to do as His disciple. Examples abound. People, you've known bitter people. So often people just get so bitter about things. And perhaps it is because they selfishly refuse to forgive. Or perhaps due to some sense of entitlement. You know, it's almost like a catchphrase these days about, you know, people feel entitled. But because of some sense of entitlement in some area, people get disgruntled or angry. They respond because their entitlements, you know, they feel entitled. They respond in such a way that they get angry. They want to lash out or get revenge in some way. I've noticed that in marital problems, so often this is the case. If not always even, so often the case in marital problems, in marital counseling, we found that the problems are directly tied in with selfishness, either by one partner or the other or even both partners. You know, it's amazing finding these things as in discussions and see people recognize and repent and then the reconciliation that occurs there. So often, these things occur because there's no self-denial. There's no carrying one's cross. There is so much misery in this world. And I'm not talking about the misery that comes, the pain that comes. It's not really misery, it's more pain that comes with suffering for the sake of righteousness, because we can actually rejoice in that, right? Scriptures tell us that. You know, maybe you've experienced it. Now, what we're talking about is that misery that comes when we're somehow outside of what the Lord's will is for us, and we're clinging to our selfishness, our self-interest over what Christ wants. There's so much misery, there's so much brokenness in this world that could be avoided completely if we followed Christ Jesus in the way that He demands. You know, my friends, as we're here, consider your life. Think about your own life now. You know, let the Spirit of God lead you. Think of your own life. Do you follow your own way? Or do you follow after Christ, His way? Are your motivations directed towards pleasing yourself? Or are your motivations directed towards pleasing Christ? Is your life focused on you? Or is your life focused on Christ? Search your hearts, examine yourself, examine your life. Search out those areas that you may not be surrendering to Christ. Search them out, repent them, surrender whatever those areas may be. He will forgive you in His love. He will forgive you. We must bear our cross in self-denial. Now that great preacher Spurgeon, you may have heard of him, he once said this little statement, but wow, it strikes. He says, "There are no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers here below." The Lord's word is clear. It's a major characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ, of a Christian, to surrender self. We've, as Christians, have answered the Lord's call to follow Him. We've embraced what He's called us to do as we follow Him, which is to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and bear that cross. Believers trusting in Christ, I mean, this is the way we live. This is who and what we are. Does it describe you? Because Jesus Christ is Lord, we must surrender to His will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider these words of the Lord, this powerful call to follow Jesus, as we know that we receive salvation through the sacrifice of Christ, and by trusting in Him, trusting in You for that salvation in Christ, the forgiveness that comes from that. Lord, I pray that those of us here, that we will hear that call and answer it in such a way that our entire lives are devoted to following You along that path of righteousness. No matter what our call is in life, whatever it is, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, show us how we can follow You, how we can be Your disciples. And Lord Jesus, we give thanks that You called us to follow. We give thanks that You have given us Your word, that You have gone before us so that we can see what it is You call us to follow. And Lord, I do pray that in Your Spirit You would give us the strength that we need as perhaps as we look in our hearts and we see things in our lives that maybe we have not surrendered to You. And Lord, just give us the strength to turn that over to You completely, knowing that You forgive us. And Lord, that You love us. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.